Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Let us begin Morning Glory by pouring our heartfelt love and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the Paripurna Avatar of the Kali Age, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, who is also the resident of our hearts and our loving personal God. Sai Ram, and good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 25th of July, 2019, and this broadcast is coming to you live in real time from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The current time in the Divine Valley is exactly 44 minutes past 9 a.m. And I apologize for the slight delay. You know, if you have seen the movie Apollo 13 or whatever, Houston, we have a problem, a little bit of a technical glitch, and we are resolving it. Prevailing weather conditions in the Divine Valley call for a mix of sun and cloud, but more cloud, less sun, and a tinge of humidity. The sky is somewhat overcast this morning, and a thunderstorm is in the forecast with a maximum of 31 degrees, overnight lows 23 degrees Celsius. Might I add that personally for me, the climate in the studio is supercharged with Swami's grace. That is because of the lineup of some excitement that Bhagwan has blessed us with this morning. I urge you, dear listeners, dear sisters and brothers, to please stay with us on Morning Glory on Thursday Live and on Thursday for this morning and for the rest of the day with all my colleagues who will be coming one after the other. By the way, you are listening to Radio Size Asia Stream. Today, I could not have asked Bhagwan for a better gift than the interview that I'm ready to bring you from, guess where? From Leh, Ladakh in Jammu and Kashmir, over the phone with two alumni members of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School of Prashanthi Nilayam. It's a moment of great pride for the entire Satya Sai family around the world. Our two young brothers, Mr. Vivek Sani and Mr. Sai Mukunda, climbed the Stoke Kangri Mountain at 20,187 feet above sea level yesterday. This peak is scaled by mountaineers every summer. However, this year they both happened to be the first Indians to do so. Yesterday morning, a picture came on social media of two young mountaineers atop a summit holding the Indian flag, and guess what else? A picture of our beloved Lord. And once it appeared, this image, this visual came on social media, everyone was super excited. Within minutes, it went viral around the Satya Sai family. Then I prayed fervently to Swami and tried to locate these two young men. Now, luckily, one of their teachers from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, where the two of them have graduated in 2010, gave me a number. So I called the number. I took a chance. No response. So I just left a prayer with Bhagwan. Lo and behold, a little while later, I get a call back from the number just as the team was returning to the base camp in Leh from the expedition. And right now, I'm super happy to welcome them both on Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Thursday Live via the phone in. And I hope my engineers give me a thumbs up to talk to my brothers. I think they are being dialed in right now. Without further ado, we are trying to reach our young brothers, Vivek Sani and Sai Mukunda, both alumni of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School of Prashanthi Nilayam, India. And dear listeners, while we make that connection and secure it, may I remind you that you can join me in this conversation with our two young heroes. The WhatsApp number at Radio Sai remains 93258258. Is it 93932582258? Correct. Okay. So it's 93932582258. And you can send me your comments, suggestions or questions for Vivek Sani and Sai Mukunda anytime on this WhatsApp number. And apart from that, I'm sure we'll be connecting with them very, very shortly. They are coming online. I can hear them in my headphones. The bell is going through. If you can just bear with me for a quick second. Hello? Sai Ram?
Sairam.
Welcome Vivek and Sai Mukunda to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, brothers.
Sairam, this is Vivek Saini.
This is Sai Mukunda.
Welcome to both of you. Can you hear me clearly, brothers?
Yes, we can hear you clearly.
Wonderful. And we can hear you too. And so can the listeners of Morning Glory on Thursday Live around the world. It's wonderful to have you both on Radio Sai. So where are you right now? In Leh? Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, right now we are at Leh.
And where were you yesterday at this time?
We were at Stoke Angri base camp, around 4,900 meters on the mountain.
I see. Uh-huh. And what can you tell us about that expedition that the two of you took, along with some other friends?
Yeah, so we actually wanted to do this expedition for quite some time. And we have been planning. So how expeditions happen usually in the mountaineering this thing world is there are two kinds of expeditions. One is an expedition style where people go with the porters, guides, the cooks, everything. And the other is an alpine style where we take everything on our own. We carry our own tents. We carry our own food. We go and cook ourselves. We pitch our own tents, everything. So we wanted to do this alpine style from a long time, and that's when we decided to do this, because this is one of the highest trekkable peaks in India and one of the most highest peaks in India. So we wanted to do this as an alpine style, and that's when we decided to do this. And because this is usually the season from June to August is the season for doing this peak, and rest of the time it's all covered with snow, and it's no one has scaled it. And this year, because of a lot of snowfall during the winters, none of the people have been able to go up till now, and we happen to be the first Indian team to summit the mountain.
Wonderful. Congratulations on that achievement. Now, the big point for the Satya Sai world was the fact that apart from holding the, the national flag of India, which means the world to more than a billion people, you also held on a beautiful photograph, an image of our Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. What was the thought behind that?
So the thing is, we always see photos of mountaineers on top of the mountains holding the Indian flag or the flag of the organization or someone who has sponsored them. For us, it was always about Swami, and when we thought of summiting the mountain and taking the Indian flag, it was Sai Mukunda's idea that we take Swami's photo as well with us. And that's how we took the photo. I'd ask Sai Mukunda to tell you about it.
I would like to pitch in here.
Yes,
so I would like to give 70% of the credit to my parents because they said, see, if you are doing something, you should always keep Swami in the first place. So put Swami in the first place. Take Swami along with you. You will feel the presence and go along the mountain with them. And you take him till the top, and you'll feel how satisfied you are overall. So that's the main reason to make sure his presence is felt all throughout the expedition. It was just beautiful, taking Swami's photo till the top.
And did you feel the presence? Did your parents' words come true?
Yes, definitely, yes.
Tell us about it.
So I started praying before leaving for the expedition, because it's a really tough expedition, and you get wind chills up to minus 20, and your body shivers till the bones. So what I thought is, first, let whatever happens, take a packet of vibhuti, take a photograph of Swami, and go along. So I used to apply vibhuti every day, and my mother actually told me, make sure you don't forget applying vibhuti, because that will help you to survive in the mountains without any problem. So I didn't face any problem at all. Usually you face something called acute mountain sickness, that is, either you get hit by headache, or the acute mountain sickness, if it's not taken care of, it goes into high altitude pulmonary edema, high altitude cerebral edema. All these things come into place, but when you have Swami with you, you don't think of all this, and you just keep moving ahead. And you feel the presence, you feel the warmth, and you just keep going towards the summit.
Beautiful. Can I ask, yesterday when you were at the summit, you obviously would not have had the network to post that picture. When did you post the picture first?
So we took the picture at the summit, and then we came down to the base camp, and there is just one point in the base camp where we get 3G. No, I mean, very slight 4G and kind of 3G, 4G. There's just one point where if you can stand there, you might get it. And we were lucky to get that, and we just sent that photo to one of our class groups. And I guess from there, it just went ahead to everyone.
I think within minutes, I don't know how many people sent it to me. It came to me from so many sources. It was just incredible what joy people felt. For us, it was like we had all climbed the summit along with you.
That feels great to it feels great to listen to that. I mean, definitely that was the idea, to take the whole Sai family along with us.
And at times like this, when we rejoice in each other's successes and achievements, we realize how deeply connected we are because of Swami.
Yes, yes.
Now, in the lap of nature, you were up there where the air is so thin and the oxygen levels are low, and you're holding the picture of your personal God and the national flag representing like more than a billion heartbeats. What's that experience like, to be up there with snow-clad mountains behind you, bone-chilling winds, Swami in your hand, flag in the other hand, all your mountaineering gear all over your body? What's that like? Help us to experience or relive that moment with all both of you.
Sure. So usually when you go for the summit pushes, especially on these tall mountains, you usually leave in the night because you want to make it to the summit by the sunrise. Because what happens is, during the day, if the sun is very strong, the snow starts melting, and to make it back to the base camp will be very difficult. So we started in the night at around 11 o'clock. And we kept walking throughout the night on the snow, on the glaciers. And it's very difficult because you have to keep pushing. And one more thing what happened with us is, we took our water bottles. We took almost 3 liters of water each. And because of the cold, the water in the bottles got frozen. And we couldn't get much water to drink. So that led to a lot of dehydration. There was no sleep. And we kept walking. And at around 8 in the morning is when we made it to the summit. There was almost a point where we almost gave up and thought of returning back, because the sun was started hitting at around 6:30. And we had a turnaround time at around 8:30. We thought we don't make it by then, we'll have to turn back and return to the base camp because it's too dangerous. So, but we still kept going. And the only thought that we had was, before leaving in the night, we just kept telling ourselves, just imagine yourself standing on top of that summit with a photo of, with our photos of Bhagwan and the Indian flag over there. That's the only thought which was there in our mind. And even though we had thoughts of giving up and going back, we just kept pushing ourselves somehow or the other. And I guess we were there at the top of the mountain.
Congratulations and bravo. Thank good thing you had such positive thinking that you made it. You kept visualizing yourself on top of the peak. Wishing you many more such successes, dear brothers.
Thank you.
Now, I want to know, How is it? This is the first time we have had the privilege and pleasure of talking to many of our alumni from all over the world, and they are all in varied vocations. But this is the first time we are hearing of anybody being mountaineers. How did this unusual life journey begin? What prompted this choice of vocation?
So first, we were working in Bangalore, and we were roommates actually. So we started seeing a couple of pictures of summits of different peaks. And there was an attraction towards mountains. So we thought, why not we go and do that too. But then to jump to certain feet, it's not the right thing to do. So we thought we'll do it in a procedure. Start scaling small peaks and then go for the big peaks. So we started with this peak called Chandrashila, which is in Uttarakhand. It is around 12,000 feet. So we started training for it. You need to do a lot of aerobic exercises. You need to swim, run, and then do a lot of staircase climbing, yoga, and also meditation. So we started doing that on a very regular basis. So then we went to Uttarakhand and climbed this peak called Chandrashila in the month of October 2016. Post that, we started doing a couple more treks called Har Ki Dhun, that is also in Uttarakhand. One more called Sandakfu, that comes in West Bengal of India and Nepal. It's partly in India and partly in Nepal. Then we thought we'll take this step a little bit further. So we went and did our basic mountaineering course in Arunachal Pradesh under this institute called National Institute of Mountaineering and Allied Sports. In short form, you call it NIMAS. This is in a place called Dirang in Arunachal Pradesh. Uh-huh. So we did a basic mountaineering course. So you get a certificate to climb up to 6,500 meter peaks once you do the course, and you excel in the course by getting an A grade, alpha grade. So we did that, and then we started looking forward, okay, what can we do after this? What peaks can we climb? So then we came across Stoke Kangri, and so we went and attempted it.
That's very nice to know that you went about it so systematically. And Vivek and Sai Mukunda, I just want you to know that our listeners are interacting with us in real time. And I have a few feedbacks to share with you that have just come in. First one says, interview online, 3 thumbs up to both of you. This one, it comes from Navi Mumbai, from Rajshree. And thank you, Raji of Navi Mumbai. And then there is one from Lalita Chandran from Adyar, Chennai, and she says, if last year's Thursday was interaction with the vibrant international youth and Indian youth, this Thursday is the brave hearts from our school who have submitted the mountain in Leh, holding picture of Swami and the national flag, attributing their achievement to Bhagwan and also expressing their patriotic love for India. These are children from our higher secondary school alumni. Congratulations. This one from Lalita Chandran, Adyar, Chennai. And let me just see a few more. This one comes from Johannesburg, South Africa. Veda Ravi and Rahul Patel say, absolute, all the brothers are talking. As the brothers are talking, we are feeling like we too were there and reached the summit along with them. A huge congratulations to the both of them. So congratulations.
Thank you.
It is amazing how quickly the technology can connect us. Let me just see. I think there is perhaps one more. This one says, congratulations, brothers. Such a proud moment for the Sai family. Overwhelmed with joy to hear this. Aita Swami's picture, the last two digits are 49, but the person's name and number, location is not mentioned. I request all our listeners, if you want to connect with our brothers, the two mountaineers, please reach us on WhatsApp 9393-258-258, and prefix country code +91 if you're writing to me from outside of India, please, and do mention your name and location. Now, brothers, coming along, Sai Mukunda and Vivek Sani, what would you say about the influence of your education at Prashanthi Nilayam, the Satya Sai schooling, on your life today?
So I would like to start off with one of the major things which I learned in school, that is patience. So patience started off from school itself, from primary school to higher secondary school, standing in line in dining hall, where our warden used to come and say, don't try to poke through, stand in line, you will learn patience. From that moment onwards, very small things, small acts which helped me to understand what is patience and try to put it in real life has helped me a lot.
Very nice.
And also the discipline which we have been imparted there, because of a fixed timetable, you do things on time, especially when you want to be in any field. Discipline is very important, and that holds true for mountaineering as well, because you have to have a fixed training, you have to have a kind of a diet for yourself, and also the kind of routine you'll have to follow to climb the mountains. And one more thing I would just like to add is the brotherhood, when you be with all your brothers there.
Yes.
And that's the most important thing which we take it from there and include it in our mountaineering, because when you go up the mountains, it's not always about the summit. It's about coming back safely. It's also about coming back. It's about making it with your team and coming back safely with your team, with more better relationships with your teammates and also the nature. So that's the most important thing which we have learned from our schooling in Parthi.
I really appreciate your comment about relationship with nature, because yesterday when I was calling you and saying you conquered the peak, I think Vivek said it was not a conquest because we have to live in harmony with nature. We don't need to conquer her. And if you could, either of you could elaborate on that, that's a very beautiful perspective.
Yeah, because that's what I feel, because we should never have a relationship of conquest. There are a lot of people who scale the mountains and say that we have conquered the mountains, and that should never be the case, because as Swami also always used to project on the importance of nature, all those things. Because if we have a relationship of conquest with the nature, I feel nature will always win. We are so small, tiny in respect to the nature and the mountains, that we have to be very humble and very
grounded
in front of it. That's why I said it's not a conquest, it's just a summit which we did.
Yes. Very nicely expressed. Thank you. I want you to know I've just received a feedback for you, a live feedback. It says, Sairam, brothers, very proud moment for all of us. Many congratulations. I'm happy more so because it's Thursday and my birthday too. This comes from, our listener and a Radio Sai volunteer, Nidhi Rai from Piparia in Madhya Pradesh. So,
Sairam, sister, happy birthday.
Yes. But Nidhi, can you imagine you're getting happy birthday greetings from Leh Ladakh and from Prashanthi Nilayam? So how lucky are you? Blessed are you, Nidhi Rai? God bless, Nidhi. And I have one more from Toronto, Canada, from brother Yoga Kumaran Nadraja. He says, Sairam and very happy. And this one is Sai Sudha from Mumbai. She says, kudos to our boys, our children from Bhagwan School, Sai Sudha, Mumbai. So that one. And then there is one more. It says, congratulations to the mountaineers. Very happy to hear the story and the way Swami inspires. I don't have the person's name and location. And thank you, dear listener, for sending that. There is one from Rekha Vagela from Mumbai. She says, congratulations. Great to hear the summit achievers live. Please request brothers to share their advice to today's young generation who are aspiring to achieve many things but lack hard work and persistence. So you have a question from my listener Rekha Vagela from Mumbai, brothers. Can you tell us what is your advice to young generation who want to achieve so much but they lack the hard work and persistence? What would you say to our listeners in that regard?
One thing I would just tell how I took up mountaineering is because there are so many options nowadays, and we are in the society, we are usually forced to take up either engineering or be a doctor, or nowadays there is CA and so many other professions. One thing I was missing, and I was working in the finance field, was that lack of this thing. I couldn't like totally connect to my job. And that's the reason why I started thinking backwards. And one thing which I did was I started noting down the different things which I wanted to do right from my childhood. So at every age, at every different class in your in your schooling, you always have a different thought about this is what I want to become, this is what I want to become. So I started noting down everything what I wanted to do at different ages in my life. And one thing that I could still relate to so much was a lifestyle of adventure, and I could relate to so much is the mountains. And that's why I thought of taking up this and giving it a try and taking this ahead. So that's what I would like to tell the youngsters, that try different things and then decide what you want to do. Because if you already know what you want to do, then that's amazing. You can go ahead and do it. But if you don't have the clarity and if you are still finding out the answers to what you want to do, then I would suggest try different things which interests you, and then take up that one thing which you think can you can do it for the rest of your life, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that perspective. And we have a feedback from Shailender D. Gautam from Gurgaon in NCR area, Haryana. He says, Sai Ram, big achievement under Swami's guidance. Please share picture. Okay. And so I think you'll have to post a lot of pictures shortly. I have a ton of feedback. If you just give me a second. Sai Ram, I'm Priyansh Pathak from Jabalpur, Madhya Pradesh. Brothers, congratulations. What is your next mountain? So which is the next peak we are going to summit? Tell us.
So, it hopefully will be within next 10 to 15 days. We are doing another 6,000 meter peak.
Called
Kangyatse 2. It's a 6,000 meter peak, and hopefully it will be in the next 10-15 days if the weather permits.
And is it located in the Leh-Ladakh area?
Yes, it is again located in the same region.
Okay, and I have a feedback which says, Om Sai Ram brothers, well done. This is from Brother Dina in East London, South Africa. So that one, thank you for that participation. And this one comes, it says, message for Vivek and Mukunda. Sai Ram brothers, you both sound so grounded even after scaling such heights. Happy to hear. Nakul from Mumbai. So stay grounded, brothers. Then you'll get invited to Radio Sai more often.
That is definitely
one of the filters we use. Okay, I'm just kidding. Although we should perhaps. And then this one comes from Amitabh Das Gupta from Australia. And it says, very profound your humility, and very proud of our boys. May you climb many more heights. Mount Everest with Swami's blessings. Jai Sai Ram, Amitabh Das Gupta, Australia. Thank you. And this one comes from, name is Derya. It is from Uma Maheshwari from BHEL in Hyderabad. And she says, hearty congratulations, dear brothers. Very inspiring answer about conquest. All the best for your next summit. So, and
Sai Ram, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sai Ram, thank you.
Sai Ram brothers, this one, next one comes from Stephen Moodley from Durban, South Africa. Just listening to your experiences is giving us goosebumps. I feel so proud of your achievement. Stephen Moodley, Durban, South Africa.
Thank you.
This one comes from, from Saraswati Charan in Sikandrabad. And she says, congratulations, Sai Mukunda and Vivek. All of us as part of Sai family are thrilled and proud of you two. And as you said, discipline and perseverance is what is required for such endeavors. As Baba says, Shraddha and Saburi. And the next feedback comes to us from Radha Krishnan from Mumbai. Mrs. Radha says, thank you so much for this live interview, dear Radio Sai. Congratulations to both Sai children who have achieved this great feat. I'm touched by their humility. Sai Ram, Mrs. Radha Krishnan, Mumbai.
Sai Ram, thank you.
And this one comes from Ganeshan in Koduvai in Tamil Nadu. Sai Ram, greetings. They proved everything is possible with Bhagwan. Very nice, brother Ganeshan from Koduvai in Tamil Nadu. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. And one listener has just sent Namaskar and Sai Ram sir to both of you. Didn't write his name or her name. And this one comes from Lalita Chandran again, says, proud of you both for keeping Swami's flag flying high. All the very best for your next venture. See, that one picture made you heroes. Many people summit many peaks around the globe, but I think you're the first two who rolled out a picture of our beloved Lord. And
yes,
with Swami says, with him, zeros become heroes. Not that you both are zeros, but I didn't mean in that sense. But we all acquire value
definitely
because of his presence in our lives.
Yes, we are heroes because of him.
Truly.
If at all we are.
Yes, that is true. And then this one, let me see where it's from. This one again, this is Uma Maheshwari. She says, thank you for passing my wishes to my brothers. So we are very happy to do that for you, Uma Maheshwari ji from BHEL. And this one comes from Abhinandan in Bangalore. He says, have seen them from very close quarters being their classmate. They have trained very rigorously for physical and mental strength. They are an inspiration for all of us for following their dreams. Abhinandan Bangalore, that's your buddy, and he sends this feedback to you.
Yeah, he's a
Thank you, Abhinandan.
Anant from Professor Anant from Ahmedabad says, Sairam brothers, well done. Proud of you. I would like to invite you to my university to talk at some point in the, time. And thank you, Radio Sai. You're welcome, brother. And this one, there's another request that please share more pictures. So you'll have to share a whole bunch of pictures.
Definitely, we will.
With Radio Sai and with this thing. And again, this one says, very inspiring answer and about the conquest, and appreciate that. So that... pretty much I've covered the quick mails that I have received so far. Maybe if more come, I will read them to you. Now, I know that our own children in Satya Sai School, higher secondary school, primary school, and our university, our students, they're all going to be looking up to you for some sort of a message about what you have done and your reflection on this unusual career or a life path you have taken. What would you tell the students of your own alma mater, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School at Prashanthi Nilayam, at this point in time?
I would like to suggest, I would not like to pinpoint or anything. I would like to suggest not to keep any fear in themselves, to open up and look forward, and not to stay back. Or because as I was growing up in school, I was not that I was a person who, who evolved very gradually. Like when I came to my 8th or 9th, then I started to open up. Until then, I was a very shy and a very, laid back. I would say, I will use the word laid back here, reserved kid in school. So when I came to high school, I started to open up, started to involve myself in more activities conducted by school. Either elocution or dramas, or try to be part of any small thing. So I started to so we had dramas in school, right? And I was not that good at acting, so they put me as voiceover.
Okay.
So I was part of this drama in 10th standard, and I was the voiceover for Nachiketa.
Oh.
And Swami actually was very impressed by the voiceover, and and it was a very, very big thing for me to be part of. By doing such a small activity and being part of a big thing overall is an overwhelming episode for me in my life. So I would like to suggest to just open up and not, be not fear what you want to do in life. That's all.
And try different things, whether it's voiceover or being the voice of Nachiketa or whatever opportunity the Satya Sai system offers. And it offers
absolutely.
So many. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in our school, we have so many activities. Studies is just a part of it. There's so much to do in sports. There is so many activities going on. So we can do so many things there.
Very true. Now, there's a feedback for you from Channa Rai Patna in Hasan district of Karnataka. This comes from Dr. Nagraj K.R., who says, Sairam, Sai Mukund and Vivek Sani, hearty congratulations. There's a noise in your background, brother, very loud.
Yeah, there's a helicopter going on.
Oh, okay. You're in Leh. How can we forget? Has it taken off now? Okay, that's all right. Dr. Nagraj K.R. from Channa Rai Patna, Hasan, Karnataka says, congratulations. May Swami bless you both. We Sai Circle is really delighted by your achievement, and seeing national flag and Swami's photo in your hands was heartfelt. And he says, well done, Radio Sai, for getting them live through the phone in. Well, Dr. Nagraj, I'm glad you approve of this gesture, and congratulations to both of you, brothers.
Thank you, Sai.
And I have a few more feedbacks that have quickly come in. This one comes from, with best wishes from Sri Ranjini, Murali, Krishna and Swati from Bangalore, and says, brothers, Sairam, very proud of your achievement. Keep scaling more heights. Swami is always there with you guys. Best
wishes. That is my sister, and that's my brother-in-law.
So family, I'm glad your family is listening to Radio Sai also. Tell them it's a good place to park yourself all day on Thursday Live. Very good. Thank you, Sri Ranjini, Murali Krishna and Swati. Murali Krishna and Swati. And this one comes from Sanjay Mungi from Navi Mumbai. Heartfelt congratulations to both of you for this great achievement, making us the school alumni and us all devotees so proud. Sai Ram, you're making us so proud.
And, thank you.
Then this one says, this is Rekha again. Please write a book narrating your journey, which will motivate and inspire many more young people to fulfill their dreams in different areas. Suggest you start writing.
Hopefully one day. Thank you.
And she says, start writing at the earliest to capture your feelings. So maybe keeping a journal is a good start, as far as I can suggest.
Definitely. We are doing that already.
Wonderful. And see how involved people are in your success. This one says, Sai Ram, well done, Sally from South Africa. Om Shri Sai Ram and congratulations.
Thank you.
This one is, what is this one? Well done, Radio Sai. Did you ever share this thought about your interest with Swami? I don't know with who. Brothers, I'm not clear. They said, did you ever share this thought about your interest with Swami? Oh, about the mountaineering, interest in mountaineering. Did this ever come up with Swami?
Not exactly. I mean, we were we did not actually think about it back then when we were in school. But physically with Swami, but definitely mentally when we took that step, we definitely had to take that fear out and had to give that thought and tell Swami that this is what we wanted to do and please help us go ahead in this.
I have written a letter and sent it to Swami like much later. I have written
good for
like
you.
And
Swami responded, right? He gave you the confidence, the courage, the focus, the discipline and the success. God bless you.
Definitely.
I like this one. It comes from again from Canada, from Toronto, from Brother Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja. You know what he's saying? He says, even you go to moon, also Radio Sai will catch you. So if you're going to... any plans to join ISRO, go to Chandrayaan 2nd. We are going to grab you from the South Pole and have a phone-in interview with you through some satellite connection, okay? So be
sure. It has to be Radio Sai to send us there.
Totally. Swami will sponsor you. Swami is on your side. There is no problem. I have one more, just quickly. Venkatesh brother from Vellore says, Tamil Nadu, Sai Ram, our heartiest congratulations to the winners. From Venkatesh in Vellore, Tamil Nadu. And just a second. My colleague, Vinod Chakravarti says, hey, okay. Hey to you too, brother. Now, this one says, why fear when I am here, says Swami, and good luck and congratulations to both of you.
Thank you, Vinod, brother.
Thank you, Vinod, brother.
And let me see. There are a few more. I'm just scrolling up and down. 1 second. This one is so sweet. It comes from Sundari in Durban, South Africa. Sundari sister says, I have tears and a lump in my throat listening to the two. Good luck and congratulations. Keep the Sai flag flying high always. That is
actually... Thank you. We will.
Sundari has captured everybody's aspirations. So you remember that voice, okay, wherever you go now.
Sure.
This one says, all the best, dear brothers, for your next quest. May Swami always be with you. Definitely very inspired by this story and the awesome message about being one with Mother Nature.
Thank you.
And this one comes from Divya Trivedi in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Divya Trivedi from Malaysia says, congratulations and sincere best wishes for future endeavors. It really takes courage to do the things one wants to do and Swami's grace helps to gain that.
Definitely.
Okay. So with that, a few more, sorry. This one comes from Gayatri Vasudevan. She is a Balvikas guru in Chennai. She says, very proud moment for all of our Sai devotees to see Swami's picture on the high mountains. Wonderful effort by our young brothers. May Swami bless and be with them always. How beautiful.
Sai Ram, thank you. Yeah.
You guys have touched the entire Satya Sai community and... just make sure you remain your sweet selves. Don't get carried away. And
definitely.
And keep clapping. And we'll make us prouder and prouder and Swami happier and happier. This one comes from Rajeshwari in Tamil Nadu. She says, hearty congratulations, Sai Mukundan and Vivek. Very happy to see our brothers thinking of Swami in their highest endeavors.
Thank you.
Okay. The feedback is just not stopping. I wanted to go back to the questions. And this one says, very happy to hear from you, the one that you have already answered. They're very happy with your answer. So with that, I want to ask you for your final thoughts on this live broadcast. People from all over the world, as you heard from our listeners, you would have figured out from Malaysia and South Africa and from India and all parts of the world, we have feedback. What is your message, your final thoughts as young mountaineers who have experienced something very new for the first time and you have a long ways to go? What are your final thoughts? And I want to hear from Mukundan first and then wrap up from Vivek, please. Can you hear me, Mukundan?
Yeah, I can hear you. My final thoughts would be to keep striving towards a goal and keep an objective and keep working on that and make sure you involve your beloved and make sure you have those relationships with your family and keep Swami along all throughout the journey and that's it, that would be my final thought.
Thank you. And Vivek, your final thoughts?
Saiham, to everyone who send the feedback. I mean, it's very overwhelming for us to get this kind of feedback from all of you. With all your blessings and all your and Swami's blessings, we will try to scale more heights. And this definitely makes us more a lot more humble and will make keep us grounded to scale more heights. So thanks a lot to everyone. And wherever you go, just keep Swami with you. And I'm sure you'll achieve great heights.
I see. Thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. And before I let you go, I want to read the last feedback I have just received because it's so perfect to wrap up this session. It says, Sairam Radio Sai, Chand aur Suraj tumne banaye, Nadia Sagar tumne banaye. He's the creator. And he saw to it these two brave children made him and all of us so proud. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sairam.
I don't have a name and a location for this one. And Vivek Sani and Sai Mukundan, I thank you for joining me on this live phone-in. And I also want to thank my colleague and my brother, audio engineer, brother Sunil, for helping me to connect with you from Leh in Ladakh, Jammu and Kashmir. It's been a pleasure to have you on Morning Glory.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having
giving us this opportunity to share our story.
It is from Swami. You can thank Swami. Everything here happens according to His will.
Yeah.
And best of luck going forward and going higher and higher. May you both live long, healthy lives and bring lot of joy and happiness to our beloved Bhagwan and the rest of the Satisai family. We are only a few million strong, may I just suggest that. So remember, there are millions of prayers with you and millions of aspirations tied to your success.
Definitely. Thanks a lot to everyone.
Sairam.
So, dear listeners, that was a live phone-in conversation with Vivek Sani and Sai Mukundan from Leh, Ladakh in Jammu and Kashmir. They've just last evening they came down from this summit called Stoke Kangri that they were the first Indians to climb it this year. And what caught the world's attention, the Satisai universe's attention, is a picture of them holding the Indian flag and a big picture of Swami in color on top of the summit with, you know, snow clad mountains behind, the ultra blue skies, and all of them in their mountaineering gear. It was such a moment of pride for all of us. And we always strive to keep you connected with the successes of our alumni, our children, because we all are one family, Swami's family. So thank you everybody for participating. And I told you today is an extraordinarily special episode of Morning Glory for me for many different reasons. And the special part, the extraordinary quotient continues because I now have with me a guest in the studio. It is my very own dear brother and my colleague, brother C.G. Sai Prakash. And he's here to continue our conversation of learning about this very bold and interesting initiative by Team Radio Sai under the guidance of our new dynamic director, Sri Sundar Swaminathan. You must have noticed Radio Sai is going places. places. And one of those places is Radio Sai Next, because Brother Sundar's focus is to get Radio Sai into every home, every square. He wants to map every square inch of the globe with Swami's divine message. And Radio Sai is an attempt in that direction. So on that very pleasant note, I welcome my brother C.G. Sai Prakash to the studio. Sairam C.G.
Sairam, Sairam Didi, and Sairam dear listeners. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning, and it was so exciting listening to the two students from Leh Ladakh. It's really amazing.
We all want to become mountaineers. Everybody exactly. Start anulom vilom and walking and yoga. And
right.
We all want to climb the summits now. They have inspired us way too much, haven't they?
I mean, all we could do was we climbed the hill on the other side of the Chitravati couple of weekends back, and that itself was an experience for us, because it took 2.5 hours to climb this. I can just scale it up maybe 20-30 times and then think
100
about
times.
100 times possibly. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely 100 times, and then imagine what they must have gone through,
and with snow and thin air and lack
exactly.
of oxygen
exactly.
and minus 20 degrees Celsius bone chilling winds.
Some of the very nice points that they were sharing is one was that idea of saying that let us not conquer nature. That
yeah,
was
I really, loved it.
Really, very, very sweet. And we'll say, it's very intimidating when you go up the hill and you the mountain and you see you're such a small speck in this huge, presence of the mountains. But at the same time, how do you feel one with nature? And how do you feel that we are part of the same creation and we are all dear to the Lord? I mean, very beautifully put. And the second thing which they were talking, because, they have these thoughts from the time they are students in the school, etc.
Where you also studied?
Yes, where we also studied. But what Vivek said was very interesting. He said every class he would write down what he wanted to become. And I thought that was very, very interesting, because as you start growing up, you start in a way moving from what you would ideally dream of becoming to what is practically possible. But I think people who are successful in life stick to their dreams. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because some of them just give up on their dreams and they say, okay, this is what is possible, this is what is practical, and they keep going ahead. But some of them stick to their dreams. And then those who stick to their dreams, come what may, they achieve what they want to.
Truly. And one of the dreams at Radio Sai is to make sure that Bhagwan's love and light and his divine sweet message that is so helpful in life if we follow it reaches everybody, especially the younger people.
Absolutely.
So Radio Sai Next is an attempt in that direction. And our target audience is also people who have never been, they might be old, young at heart, not so young in their physiological age, but young at heart, but not been exposed to Bhagwan and his love and his light and his teachings. So, CG, my question is, you grew up in a very cloistered little world of Satisai studies and school and university, and within the ecosystem of the Sai family of the Prashanti Nilayam kind of world,
right?
Practicing your music, being a good boy, making sure your hair is always never grows beyond 2 millimeters at any given point in time, and you maintain a certain clean appearance and discipline. Now you are surprisingly the person who is trying to work to in the team that is going to take it to people who have led very different lives from yours.
Absolutely.
This is a fantastic, what shall I say, Swami has a very unique way of picking people.
I think I am the most misfit to do this job, and therefore I am picked up by Swami, because that is the learning I need to get.
So it's more for your growth.
Yeah, it's also, everything that Swami blesses you with is primarily for your growth. And he wants you to understand and come to, an understanding of how everything works. And then once you are in tune with the reality of how people are going through life, then you also able to connect with it better. Now, the thing is, like you said, I've been in Prashanti Nilayam all through my childhood. But like the brothers were just saying, the lessons that they learned when they were in school, when they were in Prashanti Nilayam, is so helpful any part of the world. And know, whether you're in Leh or whether you're any part of the world. And these lessons stick with you all the while.
And they seem so minor, that warden auntie making sure you don't jump the queue. You stand for your turn to get your food. You don't try to, you know, wade your way and use some clever tricks.
Exactly. I mean, that stuck with them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a life skill.
That's a life skill, exactly. And so what happened was, growing up here, we have always having this protected environment. And then, you know, you're being told, you're being guided by teachers, by Bhagwan, by so many elders at every point in your life. But when I had this opportunity to go to the Discovery Channel in 2016, well, that's a story in itself. Basically, what happened was...
Can I backtrack? It was in 2002 that actually Swami told you to get some training.
That's true. In fact, that was very interesting because there's a small... It happened in quite a dramatic way because I had gone home for practicing sitar in the morning because I had to play in the evening in the mandir. And 2002, there were no mobiles. Uh-huh. You know, we didn't have mobiles here, especially not in Prashanthinilayam. And I believe Swami had completed the morning interviews early. And Swami was asking for me. And they were looking around and some of my friends knew that I must have gone home to practice the sitar for playing in the evening. So one of them came running all the way home and he said, Swami is calling you. So then we both went back running all the way. And then imagine the scene, the Kulwant Hall is wide open and then there's one person dashing off into the interview room because the interview room door was kept open. And so I had to literally cut across the entire Kulwant Hall and run into the interview room. I felt like I just wish I could do that every day of my life, but that day I was allowed to do it because Bhagwan was waiting. And then I was wondering why Swami is calling. And the moment I went into the interview room, there was this gentleman, Mr. Gopal Srinivasan, who is the head of TVS Electronics. And he was standing next to Swami.
And he's also the person we owe a big debt of gratitude for our beautiful studio from which we are airing this program.
Absolutely. He's the one who renovated this entire place and made it functional.
So if you're listening, Brother Gopal Srinivasan, gracias.
Absolutely. So sir was there and then Swami was introducing me to him in a sweet way. Swami was saying, this is Prakash. And Swami was saying, you should send him for training. You should send him for training, give him certificates and diploma, and then he will work with a lot of self-confidence. Manchi self-confidence to pani chestadu. These were the words Swami told. And, well, Swami's timing is divine. We don't know what it is. But after that episode in 2002, I never got a chance to go for training. But it is very beautiful because at several points in the years that followed, Swami was himself guiding the training. This part of the training Swami was giving. It was happening here.
Experiential.
Swami was giving certain points for training. And then people from around the world, professionals from different parts of the world were coming and training us on different technical aspects of how we should do things, editing, lighting, camera work, so many aspects. And so that learning was going on. And as these years were going, I was like trying to, we made several documentaries on Swami, which we had very powerful scripts. And many of them, Swami himself patiently sat and saw them. And he would give his points of guidance at the end of each of these documentaries. But then there was this gap. Like we were talking earlier, that, you know, the perspective, the understanding had to grow because it was confined to this place. So it had to grow. And though in 2016 is when Swami actually plucked me from here and put me in a very, very unlikely place. That is Gurugram in Delhi, near Delhi.
Yeah, we were all concerned for you.
Absolutely. I was wondering, my God, Prashanthinilayam to Gurugram. It was quite a change.
We sent you away. We didn't tell you. We said a prayer and we sent you away. But you came back beautifully safe and well.
It was quite a change to say the least.
Yes. But before you go to Gurugram.
Yes.
When you went to Shimla with Swami.
Right.
Swami gave you some very fine tips on editing, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, there were 2-3 incidents where, you know, the guidance which Swami gave only...
Technical guidance. Share with us, please.
I mean... only a very, very keen eye can actually note that. And if you remember, Swami went to Delhi and Shimla in early 2010. And for most of us, looking at his physical frame, we thought that Swami was very tired. That was the kind of impression that all of us had. And so, you know, Swami's, the amount that Swami was actually speaking and interacting had come down. Mm. Swami had withdrawn himself a little bit and he was not interacting as much as he was earlier. And so everybody was saying that Swami was a bit tired and that is what we felt. But after we had the Delhi and Shimla visit, what I did was I took the footage of Swami's visit to Shimla because it was so heartwarming. From the time Swami got out from the airport till the time he reached the mandir, the entire roads were filled with people. Everybody in Shimla is a devotee of Swami. Everybody had come out on the roads and they were throwing flowers and singing jai and singing bhajans and all along the way. It was a sight for the gods to see. It was wow. So beautiful.
And the surroundings are so beautiful.
So beautiful. Everybody on the road.
People are so beautiful. They're all chanting Swami's
all
name.
All chanting Swami's name, singing Swami's name. And then a couple of places Swami actually slowed down and stopped because there was a congregation of people doing bhajans. Now the thing is, we were in the, me and Brother Arvind, because he was doing photographs, I was taking the video. We were in the jeep right behind Swami's car.
Mm.
And we were...
Vantage.
We were documenting this whole beautiful event. And as we were going along, I'd taken several shots. And of course, it's not a smooth road. It's a hilly road. So there are a lot of jumps and all that. But after we came back and I was putting the whole edit together, I realized that this portion of the visit was so beautiful and I should represent it in the final edit. So I made a short 10-minute edit. And in that, I put some portions of this arrival.
Okay.
And yes, there were some shakes and all that. And but that was understood because we were going on a jumpy road. Swami saw the documentary and then Swami looked at me and said, did you do this? I said, yes, Swami. And he said, see, starting when I was coming, there were too many shakes.
Oh.
You should remove all that.
Okay.
You should not keep
the camera was not very
stable. Because it was handheld
and in a jeep.
The jeep, it was going up and down. It was a mountain road, so it was not... And.
You call that thing that holds it in little stable? We didn't have that.
We didn't have a steady cam. We didn't have any of this. It was just handled.
Huh.
And so Swami is saying, see, there's too much shake. You should remove that. That is fine. I mean,
well
it was
taken.
Visible.
Yeah.
But then he told something else,
what?
Which really kind of shook me. And he said, see, on the way, when Swami was going, there is one shot in the documentary where one old lady was being pushed. Because of the excitement with which everybody was seeing Swami. Like, obviously,
crowds
were moving and then there was an old lady who was being pushed and you have put that shot there. And it took me several,
views
to see where that shot was. Swami said, he just pointed out, he said, no, that old lady being pushed, all those things you should remove, you should not put it. So, I mean, his sense of detail, his details were so minute. And another incident which I remember was when we went to West Godavari and East Godavari. And Professor Venkatraman and myself, we went there and we documented the entire Godavari water project. And there was this shot of, because we went there around just after summer. And people had to climb several steps and go down and take the Godavari water and go. So many people don't understand why Swami had to do the Godavari water project because Godavari is right next door.
Hmm.
But there is a very, very particular problem that the villagers face there.
Which is?
And that is that problem we've got aware because we went there. Actually, we went to the location. So the problem is in summer, the water level is so low that they have to climb down at least 40 to 45 steps to carry the water and then climb back
up
again and
steps.
Then go through the bund and then cross it and then take it to their homes. That is in summer. But what is more severe and difficult is in the rainy and winter season. Because what happens in the rainy season, the river is in spate and all the steps, the ghats are filled with moss. And so what happens is it is very slippery. See, this is a problem which we realized when we actually went there and met the people. And they said the legs slip and many people have lost their lives because the current of the water is so strong. And sitting here in Prashantaniliam, Swami is telling that this is the problem they face. He, when we were showing the shot of people actually carrying water from down, he said, see, this is what happens in summer. But in winter, many of them lose their lives because of the moss on the steps.
What compassion.
I mean, see, there are different aspects to this. If you look at Bhagawan as the person who is initiating the water project, this detail, the amount of detail that he goes into to understand the problem. But even if you look at Bhagawan who's guiding a filmmaker, he says, you better know when you're actually making a documentary on a particular subject, do your research properly. Do you understand? Do you know what are the actual problems? Do you know what are the limitations that they have? Only then you can bring out that episode properly. So, you know, several small things that Swami has guided along the way, these were happening till 2011. And then eventually what happened is there was a constant, a battle in my mind as to what is the future that we have to go into. What is it that we have to do? Yes, on one side, we are using the archive footage that Swami has so lovingly allowed us to take and then making documentaries and bringing it out as darshans and bhajans and so many special programs. But then how are we going to share the message of Swami? And this is what, got focused on when I actually went to Discovery Channel.
Very nice. And this was in the year 2016.
2016, exactly.
Dear listeners, if you have a question, comment or feedback for the conversation that I'm having with my colleague, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash, you can send it to me by WhatsApp. But don't forget to write your name and location, please. And the number here remains 9393258258. Thank you. So, Brother C.G., carrying on with the conversation, Swami decided to send you into the big world out there, from a small pool into the big ocean with the big fish at a very prestigious media house like Discovery for training.
Exactly.
In the hot peak of summer in 2016.
Absolutely. I didn't miss the heat. In fact, it was a different kind of heat. Heat in every sense.
You could feel it on all fronts.
Yeah, it was.
It was a cultural, professional,
absolutely.
Personal
absolutely.
Everything.
Shock. Yes, it was a shock initially, but I very quickly got adjusted to that in the sense that, you're prepared for it in the sense. And many, many lessons I learned there. Many lessons I learned there. On one hand, looking at the professional training point of view, my misconception was that the moment I go into the Discovery office, they're going to have elaborate setups of, cameras, and they're going to have directors, and they're going to have a lot of people doing work and teams going out and shooting and coming. That was all not there.
It was just like a sophisticated corporate office?
Yeah, it was.
And the teams were outsourced people?
Exactly. Uh-huh. I was completely, taken aback, and I was a bit surprised. I thought, I'll go and see this equipment, that equipment. I had no idea because I was absolutely not exposed to media houses as such. But then I realized that they are media managers. See, they are media managers who outsource the production of a lot of clips to their media houses. And they do the branding and they do the quality check, and then they accept it into the Discovery Channel workflow. So now the thing is, this kind of learning was very important for me. Because till 2016, whatever documentaries and videos we were doing it all by ourselves. See,
according to our best judgment available.
And, we were writing the script, or one of us was writing the script, and then based on available footage, or we would actually shoot some of the footage and make some documentaries. And we explored only one format of video presentation called a documentary format. Where you have a powerful script, you have a powerful voiceover, and then you have presentation of
And many of them were still radio documentaries.
Yeah, many of them radio documentaries, but we did have quite a few video documentaries, and we had several CDs and DVDs coming out as products. So you had the Advent, and you had two, three parts of the Advent, then you had North India trip and Mumbai visit, Shimla, Delhi visit.
Under Sai Blossom.
Under Sai Blossom. We had made all those documentaries. Now, the thing which really struck me is that we have to start exploring formats which are more contemporary, which are more, in the sense, engaging for a younger audience. So that was the first change in mindset. So that was the first learning that I had when I went to Discovery.
Fantastic. And you worked with some of the finest media and also social media experts of an international stature.
Absolutely. There were many, and we had several workshops as well there, and they were guiding how we should, because the thing is, it's a corporate, and it's a very, very cutthroat competition there with Discovery and with some of the other channels. But the way they approach it, and one of the things which I really, really understood there is, first, you should be honest about evaluating where you stand. See, that is something which really inspired me, because the first thing they do is they evaluate where they stand. And in places where they are strong, they say that this is our strength. But in places where they are weak, they accept and they say this is where we are weak.
So that brutal self-audit.
Brutal self-audit, and say this is our strength and this is our weakness. And this is how we have to overcome our weakness, and this is where we are lagging behind. So that kind of honesty is very necessary for all of us.
Honesty is a great value for all.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to deal with something from the ashram. Like, for example, I have been a part of Radio Sai, and we have been here right from day one. But if you look at it differently, we are Monopoly. Okay, we are
Monopoly. We have a captive audience also.
Yes, we have a captive audience, and many of our audience, they like what we are doing. Of course, many of them would like us to improve a lot. But the moment you go into a competitive space, I mean, if you are comparing yourself with another organization of a similar nature, that's all right. But if you're competing with somebody who is actually taking away the eyeballs and the time of people, then you're opening yourself into a larger competition. So the moment you are able to compete with people who are able to hold attention of the youngsters, then you'll have to start refining your presentation. And that's exactly what happened with Radio Sai Next. So what was happening is, I was like trying to see what are the formats, what is the tone, what are the themes, and what is the duration, what is the platform. So several parameters which come into play and trying to reach the message. See, obviously, from the ashram, when you're producing something, it has to be message-oriented. That is our whole purpose. So how do you take this message and present it in a way which people can relate to? That is the whole challenge.
Otherwise, we face the danger of becoming smug, keep preaching to the converted and getting positive feedback.
Right.
So if we have to come out of our comfort zone, we have to actually target the large, because India, as you know, Mr. Modi says, we have a demographic dividend. We have such a large young population.
Exactly.
And the future belongs to younger people.
I think this year, the statistics say that more than 65% of our population is below the age of 35.
Wow. So we have to reach out to them. And before I go on and talk about these younger people and how we are going to reach out to them,
yes,
I have a feedback for you. It says, CG brother, it just came in. You might have faced nightmares in Delhi, but we had a good time with you talking about Swami for those few months and for that continuous satsang. Thank you, Swami, for that opportunity. It comes from Arya from Satya Sai Villa in Delhi.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, someone's win, someone's loss, it works both ways. This one comes from sister in Hyderabad, Uma Maheshwari. She says, very nice to hear about Swami's plan for this day, editing and documentary in today's Morning Glory. Dear brother, I wish every lesson you should share with us. Discovery Channel camera gives us every detail. It is the shooter, or you can change the details. Nice point evaluating yourself. True, I like your moving into higher formats in media today. Please relate to every sector of population.
Yeah, so that is the challenge that we are actually facing. Now, if to open up my heart and, you know, actually speak, and because I really feel that our listeners are a part of this entire effort. I mean, we all are one family, and
absolutely,
we all are, see, because they have to share with us what are the challenges they are facing. At the same time, share with us what they feel we should be doing. Now, for example, many of the students who pass from the college, when they go and join the corporate world, when they join different offices and their companies, many of them are unable to present Swami to their colleagues.
Hmm.
So if people ask them pointed questions about Swami, they do not know what to answer.
Is he God? Do you believe he's God?
Yeah, those are the peripheral questions, I may. Because people who are, you know, just heard of such things, they question. But people who go to Google, who actually go through a lot of negativity that is there on Swami, and they try to kind of pinpoint and ask questions. See, now the thing is, there are several things of Bhagawan's life which no human being can give answers to. See, there are many things which people imagine. There are many things, there are so many wrong things that have come out. People have their own interpretations and own, we are not getting into that. But when you go out as a product of Swami's school or college, there are going to be 1,000 and 1,000,000 eyes on you. And believe me, I had the same experience in Discovery. Like, people, initially nobody knew that I was from an ashram. They didn't know that I was from Prashantanilayam. They had no idea. And as the months passed, some of them actually came up and asked me, how are you so happy all the time? They said, you're so happy all the time. We see you so happy, so cheerful. You're going around, you're nice to everybody, and you're good, and you're focused, and you're smart, and you're doing everything. How do you maintain it? How are you happy all the time?
No swearing, no getting into angry moods, no throwing tantrums.
Absolutely. And the funniest part was, like, for every small problem that they have, they say, oh my God, this is too stressful. This is too stressful. And they had to go and smoke it out to relieve their stress. See, what happens is, that is when this whole thought process started in me. The thought process is, oh God, we are so lucky. We are so fortunate to have grown up with Swami. To have been, you know, given this guidance from Swami himself. Over so many years, we are so lucky, we know so much more, which people who are outside, who are reading, who are leading their lives, they are not privy to. They do not know, they are not exposed to these teachings.
And they don't have those life skills that Swami made it, like sort of made us swallow them so naturally, we didn't even realize we were inhaling them.
Exactly. I mean, even simple things like how to control anger, for example. And how to, you know, react. You cannot always oblige, but you can speak always obligingly. I mean, this one quote of Swami acquires such a, you know, huge Himalayan importance when you're actually there in a corporate world. I'm sure everybody would agree to that.
Totally.
Yeah. So.
But if someone is yelling at you and being very insulting and rude, and you can maintain your, stand your ground and maintain your dignity and composure and answer with rationality, I think that's a strength only Swami can give.
Absolutely. So, you know, what happens is, I started thinking that, my God, we are so lucky.
Yes, we all are. Millions of us.
So what happens is, we were fortunate to come to Swami when he was here physically with us. And looking at his form, looking at him, we were immediately drawn to him. And then he took us in and actually guided us. But today, if you look at the situation, we do not have Swami's physical form. Swami is always there. Swami is always present. But how do you inspire his message to reach out to people who have no idea of who Swami is?
So extending the carrying forward the grace we have received.
Exactly.
Through digital media.
Do you share this perspective?
Okay.
For any given situation in life, I have seen, like, even a simple thing like, how do you spend your weekends? So I was actually questioned by some of my friends in Discovery and said, now you tell me what you did on your weekend. And weekend after weekend, I told them, you see, you people are doing the same thing over and over again. But you look at me, I have so much choice. I do several things that is not ruining my health, that is keeping me happy, that's keeping me very fresh on the Monday morning. So there are several benefits to doing things a particular way. And this is what came very strongly to me, that many people in the outside world are not aware of an alternate way of life. So they have been exposed to a particular way of life which they think is cool, which they think is the way that we need to socialize, is the way they think that we should, that is how we should spend our youth. And
how we should cope with stress.
Exactly.
By making strange choices sometimes.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
can harm our health.
Exactly. So there is a particular understanding and there's a particular way where people spend their life. But Swami has given us a completely alternate approach to life. So just like our two brothers told from the top of the mountain, life is adventurous.
Mm.
Life is adventurous. And the moment you get, you look at life as an adventure and you start seeing that, you know, the greatest adventure is being able to control your senses. The greatest adventure is to go inwards, to determine, to, you know, say that I will be happy always. I mean, that is the greatest adventure. Isn't that
and
right?
I think we both are practicing it this morning, CG. Aren't we happy?
Yeah, absolutely. So
we have every reason to be happy because we're sitting in Swami's divine presence and speaking on his radio. So why not?
Why not?
Absolutely.
And this should be the feeling with everybody immaterial of where they are.
And what's happening around them?
Yeah, whatever they're doing. So the best way, of course, Swami says, offer everything to the Lord.
Yes.
Offering. And so what happens is, going back to Discovery, like when I was there, like, you know, you get your weekly stats. You get your weekly statistics of where your channel stands and how popular it is and what are the TRT ratings and all those things. And, there is a lot of pressure and people feel that, oh my God, we have come down 2 points and this and that. But my point is, it's the past.
Ooh.
It's the past. It's you're getting the results of the previous week. Why? Yes, you have gone down, but then you see how you're going to go up
this
from
week.
The next week onwards. From the next week. And another beautiful thing which I learned, from, I don't think it would be a problem mentioning his name, Richard, who was my boss there in Gurgaon. He was very, very, very professional and he had been with Discovery for 17 to 18 years. And what he taught me was that every little thing matters. Every little thing matters. Now, like, for example, you're doing a program. You're a very beautifully produced program in English. The moment you adapt it or you translate it into a regional language, you cannot literally translate it. You'll have to rewrite the sentences that suits the culture of that language.
Find nuances of the language.
Exactly. Something which is humorous in English.
May not sound so.
So you'll have to rewrite that. So, you know, that is a very, very, very basic and a simple step. But what he taught me was that every step matters.
No shortcuts.
There are
success.
No shortcuts. No shortcuts. Giving the maximum amount of attention to the smallest of details. That is perfection. In fact, that is the definition which Professor Venkatraman would often say in Swami's presence when they were asked, what is the definition of perfection?
Uh-huh.
I think it was General Chibber who made this point, who said that giving the maximum amount of attention to the smallest of details.
Yes.
So that is what it is.
That really is. So that was a lot of learning at Discovery. And I'm sure life taught you in many other ways as well.
Yeah.
What did the Sai organization teach you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a threefold learning for me. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, I got one learning from the discoveries professional and the perspective point of view. Then the Sai organization, when I started going to the Sai organization, I started seeing that there were a few youngsters who were very interested in the musical aspects of the organization, like when there were bhajans, etc. Or when there was a very big seva activity, there were youngsters coming in. But when there was, for example, a study circle, or there was a discussion about Swami's message, there were not many youngsters coming in. And invariably, when I was asked to give a talk in several centers, I started asking them the question, what are the challenges that you face? And invariably, the challenge was how to bring youngsters in. So this was one challenge which many of the Sai centers posed. They said, I asked this elderly auntie, is your grandson coming to the center? She said, that's the problem, Beta. I don't know how to bring them. How to make them attuned to this organization and to the principles that we stand for? And that was a very, very recurrent question that I had in several centers, and I thought about it. And I got an answer, in a way, with my own experience. So what happened was, one of those days I had to go all the way from Gurgaon till the other side of Delhi, where I had to go and give a talk. And so really traveled for about 2 hours and went to a place, and they had arranged a small tiffin and tea before we actually went to the venue of the talk. Now, as we were having tiffin and tea, I was talking to the members there who had organized this the talk. And there was a young girl, obviously the daughter of the auntie who had in whose house we were. She was, you know, locked up in her iPad, and she was doing things and clearly not interested in what we are talking about and even the talk that's going to follow. Now, I saw her from the corner of my eye, and I really didn't, it didn't affect me, because each one has their own liking and they can do what they want. And so I was talking to the people here, the elders, and then we had our tea, and we were going for the talk, and the girl suddenly came to her mother and asked, can I attend this boy's talk? Can I attend this person's talk? And she said, yeah, very welcome. She was surprised. She was totally taken. She said, I've been trying to bring my daughter into the organization, but it has not happened so far. But now she wants to come on her own. And so after the talk and everything, she was very happy. And so when her mother asked her, what made you want to come and listen to this talk? She said that I felt that this boy was being honest about what he was speaking.
So that comes through, right?
That comes through.
Loud and clear.
It comes loud and clear. I mean, this was the experience I had even with the people in Discovery. I would go to Discovery every day with a vibhuti mark on my forehead. But of course, I wouldn't wear white and white every day. I had to wear the dress code that was there in the office. But I had a vibhuti. Not because I wanted to show anybody anything. It was just a matter of habit. Just because I put vibhuti every day, I continued doing it. And I was questioned and I was asked about it. But the thing is, people try to shake you off initially. The moment they see that you are steadfast, that you are clear, that you know what you're doing, then they start respecting you.
And sometimes getting to that point can be challenging, but we should never give up.
Yes. Now the thing is, what I felt was, because of so many years of training and staying with Bhagwan here, I was able to manage that situation in Gurgaon. But for many people who need some support, why not produce clips? Why not produce media content which they can fall back on?
Yes.
So suppose they are put in situations where they are questioned about what is Swami's message, or what does he stand for, and how is his message relevant to us today? Then they can easily point to clips which are suggestive in nature. See, the moment you start having clips which are very, very preachy in nature, within 3 minutes or 2 minutes, the youngster is just going to switch the channel.
Mm.
Nobody wants to be told down to in today's world.
Mm.
You have to give them several options. You have to give them several perspectives and allow them to make their own decision.
And find what suits their frame of mind.
Exactly.
And the stage they are in life.
Exactly.
One size will not fit all.
Yes.
CG, I just got response here for you. It says, Sairam, really nice to hear CG brother. My view is it is an extremely challenging task in this age of information overload. As an early listener of Radio Sai, it would be interesting to see how Radio Sai innovates and continues to create relevant and inspiring content. Som from Bangalore. Thank you, Brother Som. And there is one more that I just wanted to tell you. And it says, I wish every lesson, dear brother, I wish every lesson you should share with us. And happiness is bliss that Swami gave us. Only Swami students can be happy always, every time, everywhere. Sister, I'll disagree with that one, Uma sister. All can be, all Swami's devotees can be happy everywhere, not only students. I don't need to pass this. We all have it within us to do that. And when you talk of this need to cater to this market and share the grace that we have received through Radio Sai Next,
right,
we have to think of formats that will also formatting or the presentation media has to be very carefully designed, as this person has written, younger generation needs some clips. Okay, so when you are, you've done a lot of thinking on those lines. What do you think? You said young people like Seva, they like music. What are the various genres of media that you think will appeal to them and would be ideal for conveying Swami's message to them and teaching them how communicating to them that Bhagwan's teachings or his way of life is really a very wholesome way to live your life without much stress, with a lot of joy. So, presentation styles.
See, the thing is, yes, presentation styles and formats is one thing, and the themes that we select is also another thing. So there is several parameters to it: the themes, the formats, the duration, the language, the platform. There are so many things that we'll have to handle. So formats is a very, very important aspect. Now, for example, Swami used to say that in his own discourse. So he would say that when if Tyagaraja said, "Rama, please come and see me." You know, in a very prosaic form, Rama will think twice whether he should come. But when he sings it out, it touches the heart of the Lord. And it touches the heart and the Lord comes running. So, I don't know the exact song, so I can't sing it, but Swami has sung it several times in his discourse. So the format with which you present to your target audience. Now, Tyagaraja's target audience was Lord Rama. So he sang it to Lord Rama. Now, when you look at it, it's a very important aspect. In fact, I think I mentioned it in the previous discussion, but to reiterate it here again, when I came back from discovery and these thoughts were going on and I was thinking, Swami, are we going in the right direction? Is it all right to look at alternate formats of presentation? Because you have to be very, very careful about making it relevant and contemporary, but not sensational. Because
you're representing a very sacred brand.
Exactly, exactly. So it has to be, you know, very, very contemporary, but it cannot be sensational. It has to be humorous, but it cannot be sarcastic.
Or flippant, or light, too light.
Exactly, it can't be. So it's a very thin line.
Delicate balance.
Very delicate balance. And we have to go deeper and deeper into how Swami himself did it. I mean, the very fact that Swami was the center who attracted all the youths from all over the world. How did he do it? What are the topics that he dealt with in a public platform?
Everything from Chinnakathas to humor to songs to huge heavy Advaita.
Exactly.
Atma Paramatma.
Now, the tone with which he spoke in a public platform, the tone with which he spoke in a private interview, the tone with which he spoke to students in the hostel, or the tone with which he spoke to the students and elders in Kodaikanal, Vrindavan, Tri Vrindavan. So, everything was suited for the audience. I mean, the first lesson that any media house will teach you is ABC. Audience, brand and content. First, know your audience. So, Swami was perfect in that, because every single talk or every single interaction, he customized it to the audience. So, when we were actually thinking, is it all right to present the message in contemporary formats, there was a wonderful Sai Inspires that came out. And that, you know, really brought tears in my eyes, because there Swami is saying, he says, God is neither ancient nor modern, and his countenance and glory never changes. However, present him if you must in a modern manner, in a modern style, so that he might be understood today.
How appropriate is
yes.
that?
Yes, and he said, so that he might be understood today. He said, if a child is reluctant to swallow a pill, insert the pill in a plantain and offer the child both the plantain and the pill, a banana, so that the child may have the pill. But do not change the nature of the pill to suit the whims and fancies of the child, because then the illness cannot be cured. When I saw the science fires, it just shook me.
So directed at you.
So perfectly required for what, this is the perfect guidelines for what we have to do in Radio Sai next. Now the thing was, I was thinking, when did Swami actually say this quote? And you'll be surprised to know, Swami, this is a part of a discourse in August 1961.
Even I wasn't born then. And I'm so ancient.
Can you believe that?
My God.
1960.
He's neither ancient nor modern. He's eternal.
He's eternal.
So whatever.
Eternal and ever new.
New. Nitya Nutan and Sanatanam.
Sanatan. So what he said was, 1961, August 1961, when Prashanth Nilayam did not even have electricity. Swami is talking about a modern manner and a modern style. I was like completely blown over. I said, Bhagawan, you have told everything. Everything is there in your talks, in your discourses, in the way you have done things in your life. We need silence. We need to go back to each of these. We need to understand. We need to understand how he's explained a complicated topic like anger in a public platform. How he explained the topic of habits, addictions. When he's speaking on a one-to-one basis, how did he explain that? How did he explain that in a public platform, like a discourse? So what is the difference in the tone? Can you personalize the message to the youngsters and take the essence of what he has told and then present it in a way which people are able to directly relate to it? How, see, because there is a very difference, there's a big difference in the tone. See, when he's speaking in the public discourse, there is a very authoritative exposition of a particular topic. So there Bhagawan is speaking to the entire humanity. But when he speaks to you in a personal interview, when he's speaking to you in a small group, there he customizes that to each individual. There he puts it in a tone where you can really understand and relate to it. So our whole endeavor is, can we take these topics, can we take these messages and present them in formats which are very, very contemporary? Now, what are the formats? If you ask me what are the various formats, I was just thinking of six or seven.
Which are?
Which are like, one is a graphics format. A graphics format is something where you have an illustrated, many people who are YouTube addicts will know that there are many clips coming out in this format. Either you have a hand drawing a particular image or you just have the artwork and it slowly builds. So I was thinking, this format is very good for giving direct messages. Direct messages based on Swami's quotes. You can have nice illustrations and you can give graphics format. Then you have a photo story format. A photo story format is where you just take photographs and then move them with a nice and interesting narration in the background.
Like the little video about the quarrel.
Exactly.
The
a quarrel of sorts is one a photo story which yes. we brought out.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, so what happens is you have a powerful narration and you have just photographs going. Now, the beauty of this format is it is easy outsourceable. You can actually get people to do several photo stories from different parts of the world and you can get all that and integrate it into Radio Sai channel. Now the thing is, but there is a small price that you pay in the sense that sometimes photo stories may not be very emotionally involving. See, there are many of these photo stories which come out in several other platforms like in Facebook and Instagram. You see from different other companies with a lot of text that comes. And some of them are very heartwarming episodes. Mm. We can get into some of that as well. But it's a very powerful format. Because sometimes you can have a photo story with just text. That is one format. Then you have short films. So short films is, of course, one of the most powerful formats, because it's like ad films, or you have short films, which there are thousands and millions of short films available on YouTube and on several platforms like Netflix, Amazon Prime, and so many things. So short films is one of the most powerful formats because it draws you in. You start identifying yourself with the characters. You start identifying yourself with the theme that is being presented. And then you get involved. Then animation is a very powerful format, because not only for children, but many, many topics that which even adults are interested in. Animation is a very powerful format. Then you have hosted videos. Somebody coming to the camera, like Brother Vishu and Brother Arvind, who are doing regular videos on Radio Sai, where you come and look into the camera and you speak. So that is a format. Then you have panel discussion. If you have experts coming in. See, each of these formats is very, very powerful. And of course, you have the documentary format as well. So each of these
Being
Human Being was a music video. Peace In was a music video. And In Your Heart is a music video. Now, when we did research on what are the most popular formats on YouTube, because our platform is YouTube currently, the first 100 most watched videos on YouTube are all music videos. They are the most watched videos on YouTube, and all of them, the first, I think, 80 or so, have more than a billion views. We are not talking about million views. We are talking of billions of views. Of course, music is universal, and that is the point that is proven here. Music videos are really, really very, very big. They have a huge appeal, international appeal. So when we released Being Human Being even Peace In, we got some responses from people who are professional musicians in completely different genres, like rock and pop music and like Western music. They said, this is interesting. It has a beautiful blend. And so what happens is the universality of music is a very, very powerful platform which we can really use. And Swami loved music. I mean, every day there was bhajans.
Sama Gana Lola.
Exactly. Exactly. So music videos are something which we can really work on to take the message.
Wonderful. Now, just to make sure that most of our listeners understand this Radio Sai Next, on the 10th, 20th and 30th of each month, they can look forward to, every 10 days apart, a new release. And if they have any media skills such as animation, music, videography, video editing, they can all contribute, right?
Absolutely.
We said last time, what is your email ID, CG?
SaiPrakash@RadioSai.org.
So at SaiPrakash@RadioSai.org, you can share, if you can contribute to this great effort that is being made to ensure that the upcoming generation is in tune and can also benefit from the light and love of Swami's teachings, to manage this whole, the new generation is completely clued into social media.
Right.
So Radio Sai Next has to have some sort of very effective social media management.
Very true.
What's the plan of action?
See, now the thing is, because we are still maintaining the name Radio Sai, although we have named it as Radio Sai Next, the videos come on the Radio Sai channel, YouTube channel, as a separate playlist.
Hmm.
But what we thought was that in order to make the discoverability higher, in groups and in sections of society where they have no clue of who Swami is. Because primarily we are looking at these formats as a way of reaching out to people who are completely new as well. I mean, it is most relevant for the devotees. At the same time, the devotees should feel confident. They should feel happy and proud of sharing these clips with their colleagues, their relatives, their friends, who may not be aware of who Swami is. So that is a very, very important aspect of the target audience that we are looking at. So what we have done is, we have started a separate Instagram and Facebook page. Now, the separate Instagram and Facebook page is called Radio Sai Next.
Okay.
So, dear listeners, please follow us on Instagram, Radio Sai Next. And please, follow us on Facebook as well, with the same name, Radio Sai Next. Now, everything that we are doing, that is 10 days, once in 10 days, 10th, 20th and 30th is when we release the clips on YouTube. But all the follow-up and all the promotion and all this details for the clips is given on our social media platforms. So, you know, we have regular posters coming out, talking, and we have small, simple quiz, and then we have, you know, several aspects of the presentation being discussed. These will all come out in our social media platform.
Wonderful. So everybody should remain glued and clued to it. I have a feedback for you from Seema in Bangalore, I believe. And she says that agree with animation and movie formats. Example, the Ehsaas by Students of Sai was a hit. And I think Ehsaas was the song,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And just there's one from Padmini. She says interview with Sai Prakash. Oh, this is a different one. Sorry. This is a feedback. This one says you're explaining advertising. Yes, music is more effective to younger generation. Very good. And I have a few emails, but this one comes from Gurgaon, from Sri C.L. Mirakhur, who says that when Sai Prakash visited our Sai Center in Gurgaon, I think, he was able to take a picture with you, and he wishes you well and lots of happiness. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sri Mirakhurji, for that feedback. There's one more I just quickly want to read to you. This one says, good morning, and I'm very happy. Please convey my congratulations to my brothers. I think this is for all the three brothers, yourself and Vivek, and Vivek Saini and Sai Mukundan. This comes from Shivagama Sundari from Cuddalore, Tamil Nadu. And I think there was something else that just popped up. So as in, when I notice it, I will ask. CG, I just have to backtrack. You said you learned a lot of professional stuff at Discovery. You learned a lot of fine detail from Bhagwan himself. Then you went to the Satya Sai Seva organization to understand the mood and the need of the hour for younger person. I also understand you learned something from a holy person.
Oh, yes.
Who was that?
Now, there is a very... you know, like a saint, there's a person who lives in Vrindavan. So I visited his ashram because I got to know about him from some of my friends. And Swamiji Krishnadas was really beautiful meeting him. And, you know, when I was speaking to him, because he's an ardent devotee of Swami, and he follows Swami's teachings to the last detail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very particular about every small message that Swami gives. Now, I had these discussions about what we want to do with him. And that's how it becomes relevant in this presentation. So, you know, I had a very, very interesting conversation with him when I told him that this is the plan of action and this is what we want to do. So he says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to take the message of Swami to the younger generation.
Okay.
Then he asks, why the younger generation? Then I said, because Swami gave a lot of importance to the youth, and there is a certain guidelines given by the Sai organization for Balvikas. So the moment they grow out of Balvikas, suddenly they're left open and there is no further guidance.
I see.
So that was my understanding, that, you know, till you're in Balvikas, there is a structured, you know, if people want to take the Balvikas course, there is a structured growth and you're taught a lot of things which you would not know otherwise.
Mm.
But the moment you finish the Balvikas course, suddenly you're left out in the world and there's nothing guiding you there.
Mm.
So can we take up topics which are relevant to the youth and present it? That was my thinking. So he asked me, why youth?
Hmm.
And I said, because they have a lot of problems. He says, how do you know? I said, well, I just know there are problems. And when I speak to some of the friends who are youth, and of course, they're having a lot of problems. They're having a lot of questions.
Yeah.
This is the age where you have energy. You have everything in your hands. But you don't. If you don't have right guidance, it can easily be misled.
Right.
So then he asked me, what is the major problem that the youth are facing?
Hmm.
So what is your understanding? He asked me that. See, a very, very clear and a very professional approach. This sage, the saint was asking me, you know, in a very, very systematic way.
Hmm.
So he was asking me, so what do you think is their main problem? I said that, you know, they are very impatient for results.
Achha.
They're very, everything has to be instant gratification. And there is a large quotient of sensual gratification. So that is what I had put. He said, so are you not sensual? Are you not looking for instant gratification? He asked me. And I said, maybe I am. But definitely after staying with Swami, we know that there is an alternate path. We know that there is a way of handling it. And this is something which many youth don't know. Then he looked at me and he said, see, this is the beauty with these masters. The way they can communicate is very, very beautiful. He said, for example, you are wearing white and white. Why are you wearing white and white? So that the person who is looking at you feels that, oh, here is a person wearing a good dress, a neat dress. So is that not sensual gratification? You are wearing glasses for your eyes so that you can see better. Is that not satisfying the senses? I was like totally amazed. Like, you know, when we talk about instant gratification, when you talk about, say, you're talking about food, you're talking about several other things, you know, you do not attribute or you do not, you're not conscious about the idea of the dress that you wear, the glasses that you wear, and how it is directly related to a practical aspect of life. So, when you're talking about problems, we take it for granted that yes, we need to wear clothes because we need to wear clean clothes and white dress because this is an absolute necessity. Now, the line of what is a necessity and what goes beyond necessity is a very thin line. Each one defines that for themselves. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
So, what is a necessity for you? For me, suppose I have a power in my eyes, so I need to see clearly, and I can pass that off as an absolute basic necessity. So that's why I'm wearing glasses. But if somebody is addicted to drinking, for example, they feel that unless I have this few pegs of alcohol, that has become their necessity. How do you tell them that that is not your necessity? That is an addiction. So there is a very thin line, there is a grey line. Of course, the moment people get addicted to it, then it's very clear that, you know, you're not able to live without it. That's a different ball game. But, you know, there are several levels. So the levels of grey area, see, this is a grey area, like where do you draw the line between what is a necessity versus what becomes an addiction? So this is the area where you know, youth face problems. There is a question.
Hmm. Yeah.
So when he asked me these questions, it set me thinking.
Hmm.
It said, so he said that yes, focus on Swami's message. Try to understand it deeper. Go deeper and deeper and understand it. So we have to now. Then there's a very beautiful thing that he told me. He said, so how are you feeling now about the whole thing? I said, you know, there is some anxiety about how these clips will come out, how these form, will it be suitable, will we face a lot of challenges, will we be able to do it? Then I thought he'll be very sympathetic to me and he will tell me that, you know, don't worry, Swami is there with you and all that. He looked at me with angry eyes and he asked, you have no faith in Sai Baba? He asked me. And I was like completely taken aback. I said, no, Swamiji, I have faith in Sai Baba. Then he said, if there is faith, there is no anxiety. If there is anxiety, there is no faith.
What a beautiful life mantra.
Absolutely.
So if there is faith, there is no anxiety.
There is no anxiety. The moment you have faith that Swami is the one doing everything, and finally, if we think that we are going to take the message to the world, it's absolutely foolish because it is Swami's message. And he has his own way of reaching his own message. What we are doing is for our transformation primarily. So we, every time you take a message and look at it from your perspective, that is automatically an interpretation of what you understand from it. Isn't that right? So the more and more we become hollow, the more and more we become like the flute that Swami can hold, only then can we be very effectively taking the message to the younger generation. Because the younger generation is very, very, very keen. They observe very, very closely. And the moment they find some discrepancy in the way you talk and the way you behave in daily life, they are going to just switch off.
Hmm. And that's what some of our listeners have written. I'm out of time, but someone has written they participate in the Seva organization's work. Sai Prakash, my children don't like it because they think we are a cult and they don't participate. So it's a, you know, there's only so much of pontification and preaching you can do.
Right.
So that's why Radio Sai Next is an attempt by the team at Radio Sai to address the necessities of the spiritual needs of younger people and people out there who may not be exposed to Bhagwan the way we devotees are, and help them to get through life with some very good positive aids.
Absolutely.
Life aids, life skills.
Absolutely. See, what happens is there are several things, the concepts which you know in the back of your mind if you have been here and if you have read some of Swami's teachings. But when it is presented to you in a format which you can share with somebody who is totally new to Swami. Now, for example, the format which we have chosen is, whatever this format, whether it is a short film, music video, photo story or a hosted show, we always end with a quote of Swami. So we have a situation, we have a music video, whatever it is, we have a quote of Swami at the end and Swami's signature, Sri Satya Sai.
What a nice way.
So what happens is, we are attributing it back to Swami.
To the source.
To the source. But at the same time, we are presenting the concept in a real life situation. That's the whole idea.
Thank you, CG. Dear listeners, I'm out of time and I have a number of feedbacks, but they kind of came in late and we have to close. But there's one which I have to read out because it's very special. This one comes from our very own brother, Ved Narayan sir, from Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School of Prashanthi Nilayam. And he says, congratulations to our students, Vivek Sani and Sai Mukund. And thanks to Radio Sai team for arranging this beautiful interview. On behalf of the team at Radio Sai, I thank you, Ved Narayan sir. Your feedback means the world to us because it's coming from the school from where these young men grew up and went out into the world to conquer peaks. But again, conquer is a bad word. To scale peaks and summit them because nature cannot be conquered. And I want to thank my brother CG Sai Prakash for that very insightful, deep and engaging explanation of how Radio Sai has come about. Radio Sai Next is evolving and the deep planning and strategy that is going into the making and designing of this particular offering from the ashram to the world as a gift of Bhagwan, and it has to be worthy of his divine name, and all the subtleties and nuances that are being kept in mind while various genres are still being tested. And I think it's in the process of evolving.
Yeah, in fact, I would like to go on record and say that please give your feedback, because the 6 to 8 months are very, very critical. And the more feedback we get, that will help us refine and define our future programs. So after about 6 to 8 months, I think we can start narrowing down on formats and on the tone and on the presentation and platforms. There are so many parameters we can narrow down after we get, you know, solid feedback.
Thank you, Sai Prakash. And I'm going to end this program with a little something from Babita Mehtani of Hong Kong. She said she loved the words that you brought up from the Guruji, who said, if there is faith, there is no anxiety. So, dear listeners, let this Thursday be a day, Thursday of faith, and every day be a day of faith so that there is banish anxiety from our lives. We are so blessed to have Bhagwan with us. And on that note, I want to just take a quick second to thank all our listeners who have been tuning into Morning Glory and everybody who has sent in their feedback over the last few years whenever I've used live phone in. I've really appreciated your participation for making the program so lively. And I want to thank Swami for this opportunity to be part of this Thursday Live. Thank you, everybody. Have a great, saisam, awesome day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.